Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the fourth episode of the Hyper IgM podcast. In today's episode, I sit down with Chris, an adult living with Hyper IgM. Chris is about to undergo a first-of-its-kind and potentially revolutionary gene editing treatment. Enjoy the episode! Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the fourth episode of the Hyper IgM podcast. I am your host, Ezra Feynman, and today I am joined by Chris. How are you doing today, Chris?
Hey, Ezra, I am doing well. Thanks for asking.
I'm glad to hear it. So before we get started, could you tell us a little bit about yourself, if you have any hobbies or what you like to do in your free time?
Yeah, so just a little bit about me. I am from Fort Worth, Texas, currently live in Fort Worth as well. And when it comes to my free time, there's a couple of things that I enjoy doing. One, I'm a big nerd over here, so I enjoy Dungeons & Dragons. I've got a pretty close group of friends where we like to have board game nights on the weekends. And nice. then the other big thing is just being plugged into the CrossFit community where I'm a coach, and so it's pretty fun to be part of that fitness group.
Wow, that's awesome. I didn't know you were a CrossFit coach. That's very impressive, yeah. So before we start getting into more of the questions, for our viewers or listeners that don't already know what Hyper IgM syndrome is, Hyper IgM syndrome is a 1 in a million rare disease that causes a person's immune system to not function properly. People with Hyper IgM are unable to make antibodies, which means that if they get sick, they may have a hard time fighting off the infection and could get very ill. Hyper IgM patients are also at a higher risk of developing cancer. Without a stem cell transplant, life expectancy for a person with Hyper IgM is an average of 30 years old. However, some do live into their 40s or 50s. So, Chris, I know that you lived your whole life with a primary immune deficiency, but you only found out, I think it was a few years ago, that it was actually Hyper IgM. So could you give us a little bit of insight into how it was growing up with an immune deficiency?
Yeah, so, I mean, right off the bat, growing up, I mean, it was two when they realized that something was wrong, and they informed my parents, and they just believed it was some type of common variable immune deficiency. Mm-hmm. And so, owing up, at first, you know, I was in the hospital a lot, as most kids are when they don't have an immune system. And then once I got into elementary school, really, I felt like a normal kid. I think my parents did a great job of making sure that I was never held back and never looked at any different than anyone else in the classroom. And so I was very fortunate to have parents who let me live my life and let me kind of take on the adventures that I wanted to take on growing up. Now, with that being said, of course, it came with its hurdles when it comes to getting sick, being in the hospital for several months. So when you don't have an immune system, you can definitely be impacted by so many different crazy wild infections.
Yeah, that's very interesting, because what I remember from my early childhood was that, like, I was always in isolation. I was in the hospital. I had two stem cell transplants. The second one worked when I was four. But all of my memories of, I actually remember some things about being in the hospital. But even after that, when my immune system was not fully developed yet, you know, I remember walking around everywhere with gloves on, you know, to make sure I don't pick up the any infections. And I only really got like the tail end of kindergarten. And it was definitely, I think, a hard time because I wasn't able to go that many places and stuff like that. I mean, I had some amazing opportunities, though, to go places just completely by myself, which was a perk to it. I don't know if you've had any of the similar experiences yourself. Like, I got to go to the Intrepid by myself with nobody else in the entire thing. It was crazy experience. I still remember it, but I was definitely in isolation. So that's interesting the way that your experience differs.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, right, we just got to think about those times back then and just where I was and the doctors just believing it was just a primary immune deficiency versus something like Hyper IgM, which I think in the late 80s, early 90s, it was still relatively unknown. So,
yeah. So how did your diagnosis of Hyper IgM change things for you? Like, were you relieved to know what it was? Were you like, oh, now I gotta figure out what this is? Like, how did you react to it?
Yeah, so, I mean, To be frank, right off the back, when the doctor figured out what it was, we had a very serious conversation, and you touched on it in the beginning, which is life expectancy. So I'm 37, and on average, if we were to look at statistics, it doesn't paint a pretty picture, but I'd already made it so far. I've lived a good life. I'm happy. And so at first, it caught me a little off guard, but then I realized, I've been living this way my whole life. Nothing's really changed. But what it did do is it for sure gave me a little bit of direction. I knew where I could start asking those questions. And, up until that point, I was just kind of status quo, never really seeking answers for why. Because it just was. I just didn't have an immune system, it didn't work, and no one knew why. So it definitely gave me a sense of direction, and that's where I started reaching out to different foundations, trying to ask more questions about, what everyone's experience is like living with hyper-IgM.
Wow, yeah, I can't imagine having to hear that conversation. I mean, it's really is inspiring how you just said, like, I'm happy and all that, and that's just very inspiring to hear, news that would usually like crush someone. I feel like you really did flip it pretty positively, which is an amazing state of mind. So, because you learned that you have hyper-IgM, did you I know you touched on, you said that you like you reach out to different foundations and stuff like that. Have you met any people that have also either currently have or have had hyper-IgM, besides me, obviously?
So I haven't. I was gonna go to the yearly thing that the Immune Deficiency Foundation had, but at that time I had to be at the NIH for some other things, so I didn't get to I make it to that seminar. So yeah, still at this point, not in person. I have talked to people on the phone. I have messaged people back and forth who they're most of the time just parents with kids, and they're asking me questions on, just my mindset and where I'm at and how I approach things. So,
So do you like that people do that? Are you like happy to help them and give your experience? Like, do you enjoy that at all?
I don't know if enjoy is the right word. And what I'm happy about is that I can talk about my life and just what my experiences are growing up with the hurdles I had out in front of me, with the way my parents approached raising me, and being able to hopefully give someone some clarity and sense of hope. And no matter what, you can live life without fear. But at the end of the day, we know that we're going to get sick, and I think that's kind of what's helped me in my mindset of knowing that, just live life. You're going to get sick. You're going to get through it. And a lot of that has to do with kind of my faith and just the belief system that I have.
Yeah. Obviously I'm helping out here with the Hyper-IgM podcast, right? So I do, again, going back to the word, I don't think the word enjoy is the right word, but I do find like fulfillment in helping
Fulfillment, yes.
with, yeah, that's the better word. There we go. That's the better word. Yeah. Being here to help people that either currently have hyper-IgM, know somebody that has hyper-IgM and wants to see or hear from someone that had it, and maybe you don't want to contact someone face to face, you can come to the podcast. So that's something that I definitely find fulfillment in. So yeah, so you said that they ask you about your conditions. How do you manage the condition? Do you take medication and stuff like that?
Yeah, so I mean, since age of two, it's been IVIG nonstop, about every 4 weeks. There was a point in time where we tried the sub-Q, but my body is not a fan of that sub-Q. I've tried multiple times. I know it's a great product, but I'm very happy on IVIG with the amount of volume I get. And then on top of that, it's antibiotics about 3 days a week. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And then outside of that, just again, it's just all about being and trying to maintain that status quo with my health and everything else.
Yeah, I had a IVIG as well. All before, during, and after my transplant, while my immune system is still developing, so I've been there. I mean, that's a struggle. So, Chris, remind me, what do you do for work?
Yeah, I work for a railroad. I've been there a little over 10 years now. And I've had the opportunity to actually move out of state, work in different positions within the company, And I've moved with them a couple of times now. I lived in California for a few years, got to live in Minneapolis. Now I'm back in Fort Worth, and I help manage our grain portfolio. So most of the grain grown in the Midwest, it goes on a train, and then I manage the domestic and export portfolio of where those trains go.
That's actually a very cool job. I was really into railroads and stuff when I was younger, so that's cool to hear. But does having to get IVIG interfere with that at all? Does that inhibit what you want to do, what your goals are at all?
So for a long time it did, right? I mean, growing up, it's like, okay, Chris, you've got to go to the hospital every 4 weeks to get your treatment, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. You can't move. And then I realized, why not? You know, there's a hospital in every state. I can easily get plugged in with a new doctor. And I realized that you can move. I can pick up my life and move to other states. So it really hasn't held me back in that sense. And, you know, I just would always take a sick day, or I would always schedule it around the days I worked and the days I didn't work. So I was very fortunate to have a flexible clinic where they would see me on the weekends. So I would just go in when I didn't work.
Wow, that's you're really able to just, live your full life without having that control you, which I think is very cool. Yeah, I mean, I remember when I had to get IVIG I got my treatment at Sloan Kettering in New York City. So I remember recovering from transplant, going to the hospital frequently and going for IVIG and all that. So can't imagine actually like being an adult and having responsibilities and working, but you take that just and just live your life, which is awesome to see. It is really inspiring. So I'm sure there are some challenges though living with hyper-IgM. Like, what do you think is your biggest challenge?
Oh, so the biggest challenge with hyper-IgM, you know, A, with me just finding out a couple of years ago, but just growing up as a child, and I'll kind of combine it all into one, is the fatigue that comes with it, especially when you're getting close to that 4 week range for your treatment. And then, you know, with hyper-IgM, we're IgG and IgA deficiency, so the ENT issues that come along with it, like a sinus infection, which develops into a cough. And so I think the cough is probably the, for me, been the most frustrating part, especially in today's age where a cough is equivalent to the bubonic plague, and everyone looks at you with a little bit of a weird side eye, and I don't blame them. But yeah, it's just been those two things for me. It's just that fatigue and the cough of just being so persistent. But there are things that, you know, I try to do my best to help offset those.
Yeah, I can definitely like I hate being sick. Like, I hate it so much. So, I mean, that must be very difficult. And when I came out of transplant, I left kind of, well, I mean, obviously this developed as I got farther away, but I left kind of as like a germaphobe. Like, you said people give you the side eye when you cough. That's me. Like, I hear
I
someone
know.
coughing, I'm like moving away. I'm like doing it. So that must be hard to have to keep dealing with. And you said you were a you 'cause you said you're a coach. So does
Correct.
that get in the way?
So right now, I mean, with what I'm on from the antibiotic perspective, it really helps keep that in check these days. And then I'm pretty open about what I have. So I explain to people, hey, I don't have an immune system. If I'm coughing, it's XYZ. You know, I do my best to make sure that if I have a day where my cough is flared up, I let everyone know. And so far it hasn't really created any boundaries when it comes to coaching and being at the gym.
That's good. So when you either make new friends or meet people, you said that you're very open about your condition. So do you just is that like something you lead in with, like right as you start making connections?
No, and I used to keep it all kind of in a little bit of box and not tell anyone. And this was for a very long time in my life. A lot of that has to do with, you know, as a kid, when you're sick a lot, people look at you and you get labeled as the sick kid. And that got to me a little bit. And my parents always did a good job of, again, making sure you're not sick. You can do whatever you want. And so for the longest time, and I mean, up until probably 18 months ago, I really wouldn't talk about what I had. And then I realized that if I do bring it up, that you might be able to give, and you kind of spoke about this earlier, is even though they might not be struggling with the same thing when it comes to our hyper IgM, they might be struggling with something else. And people started asking more and more questions, and it started helping them in their walk of life. And so I realized I shouldn't be holding back. I should be transparent about with what I have, what the struggles are of living with it. And since then, it just, it's helped strengthen a lot of bonds within my friends and then the newer people I meet as well when they come into to my inner circle.
Yeah, I'm so glad to hear that it strengthens your bonds. That's great. Yeah. I mean, it's not something that I mean, that also means you just have great friends that aren't scared off
Yes.
by that, you know?
Yes.
That's what that really means. But I can go without even mentioning hyper IgM right when I meet new people, and really only my like closest friends know about it, and maybe one or two actually understand it. So, I'll try to explain it to someone, and they'll just be like, "Oh, you had cancer?" And I'm like, "No, not really."
Not really,
And
correct.
I always preface it like around cancer because that's what people know. So whenever I go to talk to someone, I'm always like, "It's kind of like cancer." I'm like, it can be treated with chemotherapy, like kind of similar. So, yeah. But I mean, that's great that you just have really good friends.
Yeah, I mean, and as a kid, and you nailed it, which is, as a kid, it's really hard to explain what an immune system is to another kid. So, I mean, in elementary school, it was just like, I don't know, I don't have an immune system, I don't really know what it means, and the kids don't either. They just know Chris is always that sick kid, right? So, as a kid, it was definitely difficult, and I think that's exactly why I just stopped talking about it, because I also didn't know how to explain it. And then you get older and realize, okay, I know what it is now. I still don't want to tell anyone. And when it comes to my career, I actually didn't tell anyone at the company when it came to leadership until last year. And a lot of that has to do with what we have talked about, which is when it came to my career, I didn't want it to ever set me back because I knew I could perform, and it was an internal perspective, which is wrong. I do think we should be open and talk about things like this. But I was just nervous that I wouldn't get the same opportunities that I would want to pursue, like operations in California. That's a 24/7 shift job, and I didn't want them to think I couldn't do it. So in my career, I started being more open about it, and a lot of that had to do with mental health and being able to take something like that on and how to navigate the struggles of mental health around it.
Yeah, that actually perfectly brings me into talk about hyper IgM from a mental health perspective. It takes a mental toll. So, does living with hyper IgM cause you like stress? And are you always like worrying about things? Or is it more from the social side that you just touched on?
Yes. I know the answer, and I'll be blunt here. So when I first found out what hyper IgM was and that I had it, and that conversation, I will tell you that day was one of the first times in my life where I felt a little beat by my health. Up until that point, my health is what it is. I'm going to live my life. But then you get those statistics thrown at you, and then your future doesn't look so certain when you've always thought it was certain. So I was definitely beat that day. I talked to my parents so they could tell I was a little beat down. But since then, I've been able to gain a lot of perspective around hyper IgM and that there are opportunities and that we've beat the odds this far. We'll continue to beat the odds. And again, a lot of that has to do with my faith and being able to walk that line of my faith of just believing that, I'm going to continue to push forward. But really, when it comes to mindset, yeah, for the most part, I have good days. There are some days where I struggle with the unknown. From a social aspect, I love being around my friends. I love being at the gym. I think having that community aspect and having that support group is one of the best things anyone can do with any type of condition when it comes to mental health, of, finding that purpose, that why. And then also finding that support group that supports both of those is, I think, one of the healthiest things anyone can do when they're struggling with anything. So.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, like having a support group is one of the best things you could possibly do for a mental health struggle. I tried to use my experience as a little kid with hyper-IgM to kind of push me through my everyday struggles, and whether that's with school or social, anything, right? I'm like, we've been through this, and as you said, we already beat the odds. I like that quote. I'm gonna steal that from you.
All you.
So like, we've already been through this, and it's like, even you're currently going through it, but you're like, your whole life I've been going through this, so it's like I can go through anything else. It's like I'm already strong as I can be, which I think is the right mindset to have with this kind of situation. So it's great to hear that you are doing so good and just mentally strong. Even with that diagnosis, how you said how you dealt with it was amazing. So, Chris, you're planning to undergo a first of its kind experimental treatment for hyper-IgM that no one else has gone through. So, do you want to talk a little more about that and like how you're feeling about it?
Oh, I know you don't have all night, so I'll do my best to kind of condense this as quickly as I can. So first and foremost, to anyone who's listening, a little bit more insight about what we're trying to do at the NIH, and I am very thankful to everyone involved. Just as a little bit of an education on the background side of treatment, Ezra, you were very fortunate, and I'm so happy to hear that, that stem cell treatment plan worked for you, even though it took two. I know that wasn't easy. So when they looked at that for me at my age, with everything else I have going on with my health, which is I've got a bad liver from PSC, I've got bronchiectasis in the lungs, I have celiacs. When they matched that up against that treatment plan, it would require right now a transplant of the liver and then a bone marrow transplant, and it had to be from two different donors. And obviously, doctors have to weigh those odds. And I mean, I am healthy, I feel healthy. They didn't want to put me through that because the odds weren't very good, and we didn't really know what to do. So now the NIH enters the picture, and what they're looking to do is just a gene edit where they took out all my blood, and they did this last year. They spun it in a machine, they took out my genes, they used a technology, it's kind of sci-fi, it's pretty neat when you learn a little bit about it, and they're going to correct my DNA, just to put it simple. So the gene that's broken in my hyper-IgM case, they programmed a virus to fix my DNA, and it worked. So that was approved for treatment plan in December. Now I've been back to the NIH already to talk to them about the next steps, and right now, rough timetable I think is around June, where I'll be at the NIH, and like you said, it's a first of its kind, and it is definitely exciting. Obviously, there's a lot of unknowns, but it is what it is, and I've been through a lot in my life. I never had that mindset of when I was walking into the hospital of I wasn't going to walk out. It just I'm going to walk in, I'm going to get treated, and I'm going to walk out, and it's the same approach here. So I am very fortunate, and for the visit, I'll have to live up there close to 2 months to go through the conditioning process and then the recovery process.
Wow. Yeah, so this process is just, if it works, it's just absolutely revolutionary. I
Correct.
mean, it's insane. They're literally going in and just fixing your DNA
Yes.
with, which is, that's just insane. Like, that's crazy. Like, if someone came up to you and told you that and you didn't know about this technology, you'd be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, is that
Like,
even possible? Yeah.
no one would think that's real, right? I mean, and you are gonna be one of the first people to, dive in and take a chance on it and be like, I'm gonna do this. When your mindset of just, I'm gonna go in there and I'm gonna walk out, which is just, it's super, super strong. And, do you think that if it works, your life is gonna change like drastically in any way? Or
Man, yeah, there's a. I'll try to keep it short on this one. First, I want to make something clear. I did ask, and they can't give me superpowers because I figured if they're in there messing with my DNA, that,
You might as
can
well.
you, I, you know, exactly, right? If I'm giving you the body and I'm going to go through this, can you turn on the gene that can let me fly or teleport or something that doesn't exist? So for anyone else who might be curious, I did try my best, but they did not go for that.
That's a
So,
bummer.
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when it comes to the next steps, right, and that's what I'll call it, is okay, hey, Chris, you've got to go through this process. What does the back end look like now? There's a lot of things in work. What I will say is, when I was diagnosed with hyper IgM, for the first time in my life, it gave me a sense of direction, and things that I needed to work on. And in that process, I started learning more about fitness, a little more about nutrition, and realized, man, I enjoy this. This brings me happiness. And as you know, when you don't have an immune system, we are very reliant on health insurance and living our life 4 weeks at a time because we've got to be back in time for our next treatment. And so let's say that tomorrow's the day I'm cured and I'm ready to go. There's definitely some time that I want to take for myself and be able to travel the world. The thought of living abroad to me is very appealing, and that's just because, it's one of those things that have always been out there. The world's a giant place. It's there to be explored. And this can give me the opportunity to go do that while pursuing other things in my life that do give me that sense of fulfillment and purpose and why. And it's all tied around community and fitness. So.
Yeah, I mean, I hope and pray that this does work for you. That will be amazing if it does, not only for you, but for everybody else that has either hyper IgM or another condition that can be cured by this technology, which is it's just crazy
Correct.
technology. Even though they can't give you superpowers, which they really need to work on, and they got to get on that.
I will
I
talk
agree
to
with
them.
you on that. Yeah,
Yeah.
just make sure. Yeah, because then like then we could open it up to everybody, you know, and
Exactly.
everybody can use it. So it's great, you know, we'll have people just flying around and yeah. But all joking aside, it's just, it would just be completely life changing for you and for anybody else that's struggling with a similar condition. So with that being said, is there anything else you would like to share with us generally about hyper IgM, more about what keeps you going, anything like that before we wrap the episode up?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to hyper IgM, we all know that it's rare we're going to get sick. It's just a matter of when and not if. But at the end of the day, just realizing that there's a support group, there's people like you, Ezra, who are out in the community trying to do everything you can to bring awareness that, yes, we know it's tough to manage, and there's days where worry and fear definitely sink in. But there's a group of people who've experienced it like myself. There's a group of kids like you, Ezra, who've beat those odds, and you're healthy, you're able to talk about it, that no matter what, there's someone to talk to. So please reach out, whether it's to Ezra at the foundation, to me directly, ask questions. I am always willing to be very transparent with my journey now, and no matter what the odds, they're just odds, and we're all here. We've beat them, so we'll just continue to move forward.
No matter the odds, they're just odds. That's a great way to great way to put it. And I think that just goes with anything. Having a group of
Yep.
people that's been through a similar experience than you is a way to better your life and make everything feel okay. So yeah, thank you so much for this conversation. We literally had a first of its kind in the conversation. So that was great. To our viewers and our listeners, if you liked this podcast, please give us a like or subscribe if you're on YouTube and stay tuned for our next episode. Thank you all so much for tuning in. I've been your host, Ezra, and we will see you all in the next episode.
See ya.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow or subscribe to our podcast, rate or like this episode, and share. It means a lot. Stay tuned for more.